Valley with Tony Simpson, Ryan Champion and Jack Bennion.
Hello everyone, welcome to Absolute Rally, Episode 8, Season 7. A slightly different start to the programme this week. We're missing Jack Bennion. He does have a note from his mum. I don't know that he's gone to get some kind of haircut because Ryan's other half was concerned by the length of his hair when she seen him the other week, and I think he took it on board. So he could be gone for a haircut. We don't know where he is today, but he will be joining us a little bit later on the podcast because we will be talking to Tom Cave, a man who you probably... Well, I'd like to think you're familiar with. You rally fans, of course you're going to be familiar with him. Done the DMAC Drive Trophy, competed in the British Rally Championship as well last year, and then he is back with a new team for this year, again in the British Rally Championship, again driving an R5 Fiesta. So it'll be interesting talking to Tom of the change of team and obviously the plan to push on this year, having finished runner-up, of course, to Elvin Evans last year. So we're going to be talking to Tom a little bit later on. So it's just Ryan and myself at the top of the podcast this week. So hello, Ryan.
Hello, Tony.
It's weird not having Jack here. It feels a bit odd now with just two of us, it has to be said.
Well, yeah, but maybe it was the haircut thing. But, you know, he did say he just had a haircut. So that's a strange one. So you can't really have it cut again. But as one of our listeners said, he did sound a little bit tetchy last week.
I thought he was a bit edgy.
Yeah.
I thought he was a little bit edgy as well. Every now and again, it does feel like sometimes we do have a bit of a teenager with us.
He might be getting a bit edgy listening back to this as well in a couple of days' time.
But probably will be. Probably. That's why I'm making the most of him not being here. And I answer him back because he's starting to answer back more as well now. Has to be said. Anyway, Jack, you know we love you. We're going to crack on. We're going to plough straight into Rally Mexico. We are getting ready for Rally Mexico this week. It feels like forever, doesn't it, Ryan, that we've been waiting for Mexico? Seems to have been a long wait. I don't know whether it's because Monty and Sweden were very quickly kind of on the bounce, but this one does feel like a bit of a while.
Well, maybe. I mean, we've got probably, it's fair to say, increased anticipation this year of each new rally coming around. And as much has been made of in the press this week, I mean, Mexico is the first gravel rally and will be a good pointer towards where the true speed lies for the rest of the year. So it's, it is a big one for the teams, and it'll be interesting to see just how it shakes things up a little bit, because we expect some of the front runners from previous years to be featuring on this, where they maybe haven't on the first two rounds.
Absolutely. Now, obviously, Yari Matti heads into Leon. We talked about this last week. He's going to be first on the road. The sweeping effect, which you very, very... but we got a little bit of stick over our gravel driveways, it has to be said, on Twitter last week as well, when you were given the description of why the road sweeping effect could be a problem. Now, I think the big story here waiting to happen is where M Sport are. I think Malcolm Wilson's come out already, kind of, he feels the anticipation from the other teams, having pretty much been the benchmark over the last two events, albeit Yari Matti, of course, winning in Sweden, but consistently now the M Sport Fiestas have been on the podium, first or second, or certainly obviously on the opening round they were occupying both of those steps. But the big thing is, we spoke about it last week, both Jack and I, albeit Jack thought I wasn't listening to what he was saying, but it was with regards to the breathing. Now, M Sport, I've gone about this in a slightly different way to many others, because obviously testing outside of Europe is banned for the WRC team, so they have to try and replicate this. And Ford have a facility that allow M Sport to do this.
Yeah, they do. So this has been done at Dunton, Ford's technical base in southern England, and this is where this is what you don't see about the Ford support of the M Sport team. We know they aren't a fully fledged factory team, and that they enter under M Sport and not Ford. But nonetheless, behind the scenes, there is quite a lot of technical support, as I just said. So, certainly information about the new Fiesta long before it came out, M Sport had. They had some of the first body shells that Ford actually produced. And this is one of the areas where Ford are able to help M Sport behind the scenes. So, at Dunton, they have a climatic chamber, and, they can help to simulate the power sapping stages of Mexico. So it goes up to nearly 3,000 metres, and they can simulate that in that climatic chamber. So it's crucial to M Sport's development to get that kind of technical support from Ford. And, they certainly aren't lacking in that department.
This is where, you know, the things we hear about in general day-to-day stuff, but probably not as much when we hear about, you know, people talking about stage ends and stuff like that. Every now and again, this word mapping comes up, and this is where the key to the secret to the mapping for Rally Mexico will be found, surely.
Yeah, and for those that maybe aren't too familiar with the technicalities of a rally car, the performance of most cars, particularly turbocharged cars, the key to the performance is the engine mapping. It's getting the absolute maximum out of that engine without taking too much out of it, because if you do take too much, then that'll lead to engine problems. So getting the mapping correct is crucial, and particularly when you go to high altitude, the engine's getting a lot less air in, and the less air it gets in, the harder it is to produce power. So if you can really accurately map that car before it goes and know comfortably that it's going to work, then that's a big advantage. And going to rallies like this, as we've already said, there is no information. They don't have that live stage information from last year, because the engines were of very different specification, albeit they will know how it affected the car in, say, Sweden compared to Mexico in terms of an engine. So that will be slightly useful, but brand new engine spec this year, and any preparation you can do beforehand is definitely homework well done.
Now, seat time, of course, for Sebastian Ogier coming back to M Sport is going to be imperative. You know, obviously, we spoke, whether it was last week or the week before, with regards to perhaps the lack of time he'd had in the car on gravel, very, very briefly down at Walter's Arena when he was making the decision where his future lied. All the teams have been over in Europe. They've all been getting as many clicks in as possible. Ogier second on the road. Do you think there is a massive difference, right, between running first and running second?
There's certainly a difference, and it's certainly a beneficial difference. But as we talked about last week, the real benefit is to run maybe, you know, fifth, sixth, seventh on the road. So Ogier is certainly in a better position than Latvala, but he'll still find it difficult on the first couple of stages, on the first proper day of the rally. So, you know, expect to see the fastest cars, the fastest pace coming from those guys running a little bit further back, the likes of the Hayden Padden, Thierry Neuville, Chris Meek. They're in a perfect position to really kick their seasons off. I mean, for very different reasons amongst those three drivers, they've had a difficult start to the year, but this is a rally where, you know, they've all shown great gravel pace, and this is a rally where they can really kick their seasons on.
Come back to those guys in a second. I thought it was quite interesting, as reported by our friends at Jack's lovely paper, of course, MN. Yari Matty, concerned by Toyota's lack of testing in typical kind of Mexican conditions, but Tommy Mäkinen feels that, you know, the amount of clicks they did throughout last year on gravel will see them in good stead. Again, I'm slightly conflicted by this, because one thing that Yari Matty did, of course, say straight after that win in Sweden, it was imperative how quick he got into that team to make important changes to that car to get it ready for the opening two rounds. Again, you know, Tommy's confidence is admirable, obviously, off the back of result, but I just find it kind of conflicting with what Yari said in order to get the car kind of somewhere close for him to go out and fight.
You're right. They're both saying very different things. I think what Latvala was probably saying before Monty and before Sweden was that, you know, he was in there early enough to really make some maybe significant setup changes for his driving style that really helped him become comfortable in the car. But one thing they wouldn't be able to do at that point is significantly change the engine spec, for example. They could definitely change mapping of the car, but you know, the fundamentals of the car were already set by then. So I can only think it's been not necessarily minor changes, but it's been things that were possible to alter in that 2 week period. And I think this reflects a little bit on what we were talking about last week. I think Latvala is going to downplay expectations a little bit, because he's now leading the world championship. He's suddenly got the eyes of the WRC back upon him, which they haven't been, or certainly not for positive reasons in recent times. So everybody's looking for what Latvala is going to do. And I think, you know, Latvala quite rightly is downplaying them expectations, just saying that, you know, this could be a tough one for us. We'll see how we get on. And, you know, and for him, if he can get a podium or be somewhere near the podium, that's probably going to be a good result. Whereas, like you said, Tommy Mäkinen, he's got the weight of Toyota on him now, and it's almost the opposite. Toyota will be expecting now. I'm sure before the season he was downplaying expectations. Well, unfortunately, now he have had two podiums in the first two rounds. So, you know, one of the biggest manufacturers in the world is putting their full resources behind you, and now they're going to expect.
Devil's advocate a little bit here. Again, I think everybody acknowledged that perhaps they weren't expecting to get those results. Has that come off the back of poor results and preparation from others? Have they just benefited, or they've truly got a better package on those first two events than some of the others?
I think they've maximised what they've got. I think it's a little bit of both. I think the speed of the Toyota has certainly been better than we anticipated, and Latvala has really capitalised on that. You know, Monte Carlo, he did a great job. He kept out of trouble and, you know, and earned his podium. But actually in Sweden, they had great speed. But as we've talked about previously, let's not forget the team are based in Finland. They had easy access to winter conditions, so they did a lot of miles in those sort of conditions. Now is where the season gets a little bit tougher for them on the traditional gravel stages. And yeah, exactly what you've just said. I mean, Ogier obviously changed teams quite last minute before the start of the season. So as we said, he was to a degree on the back foot. Chris Meek, we expected to be banging on the door of rally wins from the start, and he hasn't been. Thierry Neuville should have won the first two rallies, and he didn't. So, yes, there's definitely an element of other people dropping the ball, but nonetheless, Toyota have been there to capitalise on the package that they've got at the minute.
Now, speaking of Thierry Neuville and Hayden Padden, you mentioned just before with regards to running order, these guys are going to be around 7th or 8th, I think, running on the road. That is without doubt where a win is going to come from, isn't it?
Well, it's certainly going to help, isn't it? And the first day, not forgetting we've got a change of the running order this year. So actually the first two on the road, Latvala and Ogier, are going to be penalised heavily on the first morning. Obviously, we've got some reruns in the afternoon, and on day two, they're not penalised in the way that they were previously. So it's definitely going to help those running a little bit further back on the road, but it might not be the difference between winning and losing the rally that it has been in previous years.
I think for, obviously, Chris Meek and Johanninen as well, I think there's another two guys, really, you think, well, you certainly think of Johanninen as a strong contender on gravel, and Chris, obviously, not a great deal of experience, I think it's fair to say, on Mexico, but another two drivers that need some sort of result, and who are in a favourable position.
Yeah, and it's slightly different for those two drivers in what they probably need to do on this rally. I mean, I'm sure from a Hannanen point of view, he wants a solid result. His team are already performing well. Fortunately for him, his teammate has been doing the business. He needs to back up his teammate now. He probably doesn't need to be faster than his teammate, but he needs to be supporting his teammate. Whereas as Chris Meek's a team leader, you know, Chris hasn't got that luxury. He needs to be scoring strong points, and he needs to be right at the sharp end. I think, like I said, the difference Hannanen has got is that he can maybe play himself in a little bit and be at least consistent, whereas Chris Meek has got to be at the front.
Now, that brings us very, very neatly down to Citroën. There's a lovely piece, again, as ever, David Evans in Motorsport News. Citroën has blamed the worst start on its new World Rally Car campaign on a lack of preparation and competitive conditions, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure how to read this one. We've seen Citroën test and test and test with that car, and they know where the world championship goes to, just like Hyundai, just like M Sport, and just like Toyota. And you know, we've seen Citroën dominate the world championship year in, year out, and yet now they're telling us that, well, they didn't have time to prepare, or we didn't do the right preparation in the right areas. And, well, I'm sorry, you had the same preparation time as everybody else. And not only that, you had the luxury of not competing in the championship last year. So for me, it's firstly very surprising that they weren't on the pace from day one. And secondly, I don't entirely buy that. Maybe they're trying to buy themselves time with that comment, but you know, they have been the best team in the world. They know how to build the best car. And, you know, 5 years ago when Loeb had won whatever it was by that time, 6 or 7 championships on the trot, even when they built a new car, they didn't come in saying, oh, well, this car isn't yet up to speed. They didn't need to, because it was always bang on the money. And we've, again, we've talked about this. This isn't just Chris Meek going bad overnight. Chris Meek is at the height of his powers, really, now. Chris Meek knows how to drive a rally car. He knows how to drive that car, but his teammates have also been struggling with it as well. So we have to think that there is some issue with the car, but let's hope that it was specific to the first two rallies, and that they're coming to the first gravel rally where they have done a lot more mileage, and it's now going to be bang on the pace. You know, I think there will be an awful lot of people in the WRC focusing on the times of the Citroen on the first gravel stage.
It's interesting. They have been tested in Spain, as we alluded to before. A lot of the teams have been tested over in Spain to try and recreate the altitude and obviously conditions and things like that. And Yves Matton is quoted as saying, during the test session we had last week, we questioned certain principles of the setup that helped us identify areas in which we can improve. We are striving for good performance level in Mexico, given the preferable starting position and the opening leg. Chris will be trying to get amongst the leaders and hoping to kickstart the season. Meanwhile, Stefan Lefebvre will also need to go for a position to score points for the Manufacturers' Championship. And I guess that's what they could already be starting to look into, the 40-odd points behind M Sport already. So, you know, I guess they need to. I think Citroën always was very, very much geared towards the Manufacturers' Championship. I think they are going to have 3 cars out on Corsica as well. And for them now, they've got to be focusing on securing, you know, a very, very strong manufacturer finish.
Yeah, you're right. We talked about this earlier in the year, particularly when the likes of Andreas Mikkelsen, it became clear he wasn't going to have a drive. Now, no disrespect to Citroën's 2 drivers in Green and Lefebvre. We know how good they are, and we have a lot of respect for them, but they don't have the experience to compete at the front of every round of the World Championship. And even if you look at Chris Meek, we've just said Chris hasn't got a lot of experience in Mexico. So if you look at the experience of their whole team, it isn't geared towards having 2 cars at the front on every rally. But like you said, they are really keen to again have a strong performance in the Manufacturer Championship. They weren't part of the championship last year, and they really are on the back foot from that point of view. So yeah, they need a strong result from both cars in Mexico.
This is Absolute Rally, Pace Notes Rally Magazine, Britain and Ireland's only dedicated rally publication. Rally news, interviews, features and reports from clubman rallies to the WRC. Available from all good news agents, or subscribe at rallymag.com. Pace Notes Rally Magazine, your number one monthly rally read. This is the Absolute Rally Podcast.
Welcome back to Absolute Rally. Now, just before we come back to Mexico, as I know you've got some facts and figures you want to quote to us there. We just mentioned with regards to Andreas Mikkelsen. Andreas is confirmed to be doing at least Corsica in WRC2 with Skoda Motorsport, and he's trying to keep himself match fit. He's quoted here again. He was asked about the Toyota possibility, and Toyota will be in the sport for a long period of time. It could be the clever place to be, but some of the other teams are performing really well, and they have some really positive discussions and looking very positive for 2018-2019. And again, it almost starts silly season a little bit early, doesn't it? It's kind of like, well, who is kind of got a question mark against where they are at the moment? And I guess, you know, without naming names, it looks very obvious at the moment who's looking almost in trouble after 2 rallies. But you know we've got another shed load of events to get through, and you know, people's seasons can turn around in an instant with one result.
Yeah, they certainly can. And without naming names, I guess you're talking about one particular Toyota driver. But I guess the other thing is Toyota will want to go to 3 cars probably next year, and you know, they obviously have got young drivers in the wings there, and you know, we expect to see a 3rd car out on events later in the year with Esker Pekka-Lappi. But you know, chances are they're going to want 3 competitive full-time cars next year. So, you know, that's certainly one opportunity for Andreas. But if he can get out again in the WRC2 Skoda, it is a factory team. you know, they do give him the very best of equipment to go out there, and it's important for him to continue getting the mileage and keeping sharp. Obviously, that's what Chris Meek did last year whilst he was testing this year's C3. And if Andreas can't get in a WRC car this year, it is vitally important for him to stay out there doing the mileage on the rallies. He's going to be doing the recce's, but he does need that competitive mileage as well. Nonetheless, he still needs to get a drive for next year, but he's already proved in recent years that he now is the full package. He's a very consistent driver, he's a very fast driver, and still a relatively young driver in his career. So, you know, I would expect to see him with a top team next year, but I'm sure he's keen to keep himself in the shop window until that deal's done.
I tell you what's been a fascinating read this week is, again, obviously it's the guys from MN that always supply information at the top of the programme, but there's a fantastic piece again by David Evans with regards to Skoda and their future. And please, if you can download a copy of it, or if you can go out and buy it, it's a fascinating piece, right? But I just wanted to put just the potted bits and pieces to you that with regards to what David's suggesting here, with regards to Skoda Motorsport becoming a WRC team moving forward. Supposedly, it's a very natural transition, I suppose, to take Andreas over from the Polo program, and also supposedly Marcus Grönholm has been testing the car quite recently as well. And it's, you know, what's that story all about when, you know, the sister company has got pretty much everything mothballed? Could it not be that natural kind of step up for them?
Well, before I answer that, what do you think? What are your thoughts?
There's a little part of me that absolutely would not be surprised. And then there's another part of me that, again, they are a brand, and how they fund what they do is through customer cars, very similar, I suppose, to M Sport, maybe not quite to the same scale of M Sport. I think unless the manufacturer themselves were going to bankroll it with a supporting array of sponsors, and, you know, we all know there's one particular sponsor that's knocking about that perhaps could come in, and we even mentioned that particular sponsor on a Skoda last week. I seem to remember when we were talking about our favourite liveries. I don't want to sit on the fence on this one, right? But I, as much as I'd like to see it, I just don't see it.
Well, I'm not going to sit on the fence with it. I would love to see it. I'd love to see Skoda come back in with a WRC car. I just don't see it happening. At the end of the day, they're part of the Volkswagen group. And Volkswagen pulled out of the WRC because they wanted to be seen to be doing the right thing. I don't think it was just the money. Yes, the money's helpful towards the problems they've had. But Volkswagen, I think worldwide, was the top selling car manufacturer again last year. You know, they're making money. They pulled out of WRC to be seen to be doing the right thing. Now, there's probably somebody out there saying, yeah, but that was Volkswagen, that isn't Skoda. No, that's very true. But they also pulled out Audi out of the World Sports Car Championship. Now, Jack will be jumping up and down now because I've talked about sports cars, haven't I?
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Don't
mention
sports cars. The point is, they pulled Audi out of that as well. And yes, whilst, you know, Audi were pulled into the same scandal and all the rest of it, then it's not just Volkswagen, they've pulled the Audi brand as well. But, you know, most people worldwide know that Skoda are part of the Volkswagen group now. And I just do not see pulling Volkswagen but entering Skoda, going past the board of the Volkswagen group. I just can't believe they'd do that. I think if that had been the plan, then I don't know. I just don't think they would have pulled the Volkswagen World Rally Team to enter the Skoda World Rally Team, because people would see through it. You know, as I said, most people worldwide know that they're all part of the same company nowadays, and I just don't see it happening. And, you know, so why then are they using Grönholm and Mikkelsen? Because they can. You know, they were already on the Volkswagen Group books. Mikkelsen has already been paid this year by the Volkswagen Group. Probably Grönholm had some sort of testing contract with the Volkswagen Rally Team, so they're there. They're not being used, so why not tap into that experience? It'd be brilliant.
Let me put this to you. I completely and utterly take on board and agree with everything you've just said, but could you not argue that technically from the outsider looking in, what you've just been talking about obviously is perception and everything else, could it not be perceived that Škoda Motorsport are a World Rally team?
It could, but they're not a headline team in the public eye to quite the same extent as Volkswagen. And if you look at the very fact that the Volkswagen board were willing to see this year's Polos run, but with an outside team, probably therein reflects the fact that they're happy for Škoda to run, albeit, you know, slightly out of the main limelight of WRC. Because if we'd seen Polos going to Mexico now, and if we'd seen Polos winning in Mexico, then obviously a Volkswagen still wins in the World Rally Championship. And that was a very real possibility. So the fact that Volkswagen Group board were happy to let that happen, you know, it's probably a similar reason why they're happy to let Škoda continue doing what they do.
Okay, now I want to come back to Mexico. I know you've got some facts and figures for us, right, haven't you, on Rally Mexico?
Well, I was just looking back at really the history of Rally Mexico. You know, it's become a real part of WRC now, with a spectacular backdrop and some real fantastic photographs and images that we've seen over the years from the likes of Colin McMaster, who we speak to from time to time. So it really has become a real staple of the WRC now. Brings a lot of character to the championship. Only entered the championship in 2004, and it's been dominated primarily by two drivers. Now, Jack, if Jack was here, he'd be jumping up and down as to who it was. But I reckon, Tony, you could hazard a guess which two drivers it's been dominated by.
I would say Sebastian Loeb.
There's one out of the two.
Now, Mexico was a relatively new event.
Yeah, but don't look further than you need to. Go with the other answer.
Sebastian Ogier.
Exactly. Yeah. So, the rally's been won 9 times by those two drivers. So Loeb, unbelievably, won it 6 times back to back from 2006 onwards, and then Ogier took over from there and won it 3 times in a row. Obviously, Latvala taking the victory last year, but previous to that, it had been dominated by the two French drivers. So Loeb winning it twice as many times as Ogier, but actually Ogier has more stage wins than Sebastian Loeb. So thanks to our friends at EWRC again for your great website that we get stats from. But Ogier has so far taken 56 wins on Rally Mexico, stage wins to Loeb's 53. So, you know, it just underlines how dominant Ogier has been over the last few years. Not only has he won rallies, but he's won multiple stages. This year's rally is started in Mexico City, so the super special in Mexico City with the backdrop from the Bond film. So a lot will be made of that over the weekend, and you know, great to see a fantastic super special in a venue like that. So that'd be great to see. And then I think, as we mentioned last week, the first proper stage of the rally, stage 2, El Chocolat, which is at 54.9 kilometres. So, you know, that's obviously it really is in at the deep end for the crews with that stage. It's then backed up by another 20 kilometre stage. But this goes back to what I was saying about road cleaning a little bit earlier on. It will penalise Latvala and Ogier early on. So they've got effectively 75 kilometres where they're going to be first on the road. But in the afternoon, those stages are repeated, and then they don't have the issue on leg 2. So it's all about how they can deal with minimising that time loss in the first 2 gravel stages. We know Ogier is a master of that, and if he can minimise that time loss in those first 2 gravel stages, I think he'll be right in the fight over the remaining 2.5 days.
I guess that's what's forgotten, isn't it? When you have repeat stages like that, the sweeping effect doesn't really come into play.
Unless you have a historic rally and you're on snow, so it would seem. So we heard all about that on Sweden, didn't we, where the historic cars have been through and made the road dirty again. But in Mexico, obviously, there isn't a support rally in the same way. There's a limited number of entries as well. Yeah, and I'm sure by the time they go back into El Chocolat, the stage will remain pretty clean. You know, once that gravel's swept from the line, it does tend to stay off it. So, I'm sure that second time through the stage will be very, very clean, and everybody will have a similar run through it. You know, it's still probably running first on the road might be a minor disadvantage there, but yeah, second time through, I think it'll be pretty much the same for everybody.
I do love the fact, by the way, that you tipped your hat there to EWRC, because it was Trevor Agnew who texted me the other week when I made reference to you having all the stats and everything else, who said, you know, he's only WRC, don't you? Yes, I do. Of course I do. But that's Rai's thing. That's why I don't go on it. So Trevor Agnew, grass it up, who will be on the podcast, by the way, before the end of the season. Just thought I'd point that one out. Have you got your any other business for this week?
Well, I've just given you half of it.
You can do the rest of it if you want.
That was only part of it, the Mexico part of it. And also the other thing I just wanted to mention was, again, I did talk about it last week, but it is the Malcolm Wilson Rally this weekend. So a round of the BTRD, the British National Championship, if you like, but all the main British Championship protagonists are out. So we're seeing Keith Cronin at car one in his Fiesta. We've got David Bogie at two in his R5 Fabia, but also the British Championship runners, Desi Henry, Ewan Thorburn, Jamie Anderson, Johnny Greer. They're all competing on the rally. Plus, we've got a mix of the WRC cars in there with the likes of Dave Wright, Conor McCluskey out in a Fiesta WRC, I think, for the first time. So, fantastic entry at the front. And just to show what strength in depth there is on the Malcolm Wilson Rally this weekend, you've got to go all the way down to car 79 to find the reigning BBC 4 champion.
Am I car 79? I haven't even looked. I thought I was 72. Yes, I am out this weekend. 6 months out of a rally car. I am testing tomorrow, and I'm genuine. I can't wait. I've actually watched them on board from the last time I did the Wilson, and there's some great stages. I do love the Grisdale stages, and Greystoke's always a good stage as well, which is M Sport's own test stage. So yes, I'm very much looking forward to it. I do feel very, very odd having not sat in a rally car for 6 months. Some may say that's a blessing for the world around us, but for me, it feels incredibly odd. So tomorrow we're going to do a few days, and we're doing some tyre testing with a new tyre manufacturer as well. So
well, you are definitely, unless the event website is wrong, you are Carl 79, so just
right.
Put 72 on it.
No, I won't. To be fair, that's not my department anyway.
Because that would be Barry Lindsay and he's 206, and then, you know, he'll get confused if you turn up with the same number.
Yeah, no, that's fair dues. But seeding is always a great source of interest in events in this country, to say the least. But I'm all right with where I am. I remember when I used to be a lot higher up, though, but that's a different conversation for a different day. Anyway, so is that your any other business done, Ryan?
No, I've got one final part of my any other business, and that's a look forward to next week's show.
Okay.
So we don't always talk about next week's show and this week's show, but this week we are going to. Next week, we are going to be joined by Henry Catchpole. Now, some people out there will be saying, Henry Catchpole?
Who's Henry Catchpole?
Well, that's exactly it. You either know who he is or you don't know who he is. There'll be very few in the middle. So let me explain who Henry Catchpole is and why he's coming on next week. So Henry, at the minute, as we're recording this, will be wandering around the Geneva Motor Show, looking in all the coolest new supercars and probably doing blogs, and maybe he's probably even driven there in something like a McLaren, I would imagine, knowing Henry. But Henry, to those who do know of him, he is recently departed of Evo magazine, so he was the features editor of Evo magazine, but has recently moved to Drive Tribe. Now, Drive Tribe, again, is one of those things that people will either be aware of or it hasn't yet hit them. But Drive Tribe is this new all-encompassing website that is trying to, an umbrella, if you like, for everything motoring, right from road cars to rallycross to racing. You can have your tribe and you can put on whatever you want on there. Chris Meek has his own, for example. So Henry's going to come on next week and talk to us about Drive Tribe, tell us why it's interesting for the rally fan, because Henry isn't just a car guy, he's a rally guy. He has his own Mark II Escort, which he rallies, which we'll get him talking about. He's also tested pretty much every current, pre-2017 WRC car. So he's driven all of those. He was in Sweden recently with us driving the 911s, and he loves rallying. He's a regular listener to Absolute Rally, but he has driven a lot of top line rally cars. So we're going to get him on, get him to talk about Drive Tribe, and get him to tell us why, as rally fans, we should be interested.
See, the difference in our lifestyles is, you know, Henry Catchpole, and as you've just pointed out, he'll probably be driving over to the Geneva Motor Show in a McLaren or something like that. The only Henry I've ever known in my life drove an Austin Maestro van. I think that speaks volumes of where we are in our social ladders.
Ryan Champion. To be fair, my former co-driver, Dave Joll, who now lives in Sydney, quite near Bondi Beach, which isn't a bad lifestyle, used to come to every rally in a Maestro van.
There you go. There you go. My only other business for this week, we mentioned them before. Craig Breen, who's going to be part of the Red Bull coverage, talking about the coverage of Rally Mexico, which I just think is great. I always loved him when he did Stage End on WRC and stuff like that as well. So I think to have his passion and insight, I think is invaluable. And I think I'm really liking what WRC TV are actually doing and getting some of these drivers that are in and out of seats. Of course, they use Andreas Mikkelsen on Sweden. And I'm really enjoying the coverage. And I think we're getting blessed, right? I think with more and more quality coverage as these events goes by.
Oh, I think you're right. You know, I think we're getting good coverage now. We're getting what we want to see. We're getting daily reports. Not only that, we're getting pretty much on-demand daily reports now. So, you know, they're dropping in at the end of the day, and then we can go on the following day and then review what happens. So, you know, WRC is starting to give us what we want in terms of being able to log in and watch the coverage and great footage, exciting footage with relevant comments and review. So that's what we want to see, and that's what the WRC needs to compete with all these other sports that are out there. So good job, and long may it continue.
And my final piece for this week, we have been approached, and it may or may not happen, but because we're in negotiations, we've been approached by the British Podcast Awards to be nominated for a sports one. Now, watch this space. The reason why I mention it now, if you listen to the podcast, I may put some stuff out on Twitter. We're just negotiating with them at the moment because they've approached us, but there was a deadline set that we had to submit some certain information. Unfortunately, we're going to go past that deadline for the information they require from us. So we're actually talking to them at the moment to see if we can get an extension on that deadline. If that's the case, we'll put some stuff out on Twitter. If you can support us, it would be great. Because we're trying to do these things to make the podcast better and for us to do more things as time goes by, and all these little things help, as I say. So, right, that's it for this week for you. You can have the rest of the week off now.
Thank you. Well, Belgium calls for the rest of the week, so I haven't got the rest of the week off.
Are you off to Belgium?
I'm off to Brussels. Got some meetings in Brussels for the remainder of this week before, I think, a trip back to Sweetland next week and Belgium again next week.
That's just the life of Ryan Champion. Whereas this week I am testing tomorrow. I'm in Mid Wales tomorrow, and then I'm back, and then I'm doing grown-up stuff. I'm doing proper work. I'm in meetings myself with accountants and everything. That's how grown up the rest of my week is. And then I leave on Friday afternoon, and we go and do a rally, which is good. I'm actually quite excited about, because it just feels like forever since I've done a rally. So I actually feel a little bit awkward. I even went on dirt right yesterday just to get into the concept of driving a rally car and listen to notes again.
Did you?
I crashed a lot.
Well, try not to do that tomorrow, or else you might not be going at the weekend.
Yeah, I know. I'm fully aware of that. Anyway, so there you go. So we will be back next week, Ryan and myself, with Henry Cashpole. And, of course, Jack will be back with us at the beginning of the podcast. But Jack will be joining us a little bit later on. So sit back, relax, enjoy the break, and we'll be back with another guest.
This is Absolute Rally. Case Notes Rally Magazine. Britain and Ireland's only dedicated rally publication. Rally news, interviews, features and reports from clubman rallies to the WRC. Available from all good news agents or subscribe at rallymag.com. Case Notes Rally Magazine, your number one monthly rally read. This is the Absolute Rally Podcast.
Welcome back to the final section of Absolute Rally. Jack Bengen's turned up for this bit. Hello, Jack.
Hello, Tony.
It's good to have you. It's good to see you finally turned up. Now, it's not just me and you. We've also got former friend of the show. Well, obviously still a friend of the show, but British Rally Championship runner-up last year, Tom Cave. Welcome back to Absolute Rally.
Thank you, Tony, and hello, Jack.
There you go. Right, I've got loads of stuff I want to ask you, but I know Jack's got some bits and pieces he wants to ask you as well. So, Jack, you go first. I'll bide my time.
Well, I think the first thing to ask you, Tom, is obviously, you know, absolute listeners want to know what you're up to for the year, and obviously finished second in the British Rally Championship last year. So give us a bit of an idea of what you're planning to do. And we've seen some big announcements off you in the last few weeks. So kind of give us a flavour of what you're up to.
On Wednesday we announced that we'll be confirming the second round in a Hyundai R5, which is what I've been working on for the last few weeks now in the British Championship, which is a very pleased to be able to come off. We'll be doing the first round as well in a Fiesta, which was a bit of a surprise as well, because I wasn't really planning to do much this year. Purely it was my decision, but this opportunity arose for the Pirelli Rally, so it made sense for me to go and do the first round purely to go and get some points on, and hopefully win as well. And then that puts us into a good stead heading into the Pirelli Rally, which we'll be doing it in a Hyundai, which is all very exciting.
In terms of sort of looking at that event, Tom, is it an exciting thing to be kind of debuting a car in a championship, or is it something that makes you quite nerve wracking, or how does that kind of, because you've done new cars before and debuted cars before, haven't you? So you've got a bit of experience of what it's like, but how are you kind of feeling going into the event?
I'm really looking forward to it. Yeah, very much so looking forward to driving the car before the event. We've got a test in Kielder, got a day's testing in the car, which is going to be vital, really, because one, I've never driven the car before, and Kielder is an unforgiving place. It's never been on the top of my list of favourite places to go rallying, but the stages, they are quite plain and boring, but at the same time, they're very technical because they're so fast. So it's important, we get the car set up right, and in the past, I've gone well in cars I haven't driven before. So if you look back at Rally GP and 2013, wherever it was, first time in the R5, and yeah, we set some very good times. So yeah, we'll just have to see how the car feels on the test and see, whether I feel comfortable, and if I do, then I will push as hard as I can and see what result we can get.
How British rallying is, and everyone's going to be asking you almost before the Pirelli, but probably definitely afterwards, what's the plan for the rest of the year, given how quickly all your plans have come off in a short space of time for the first two rounds. So, is the aim to sort of build up a bit of momentum now and try and do the rest of the British Championship, or are you going to return to your sort of your first plan of just doing the odd event and seeing how it goes?
I'll be honest, I don't really know. We're working on, obviously, to try and continue a programme if we can this year, because, we've had an opportunity already, and if we can build on this and pull in some sponsors, we're talking to companies at the moment. I can't say who, but we are talking to them and get them on board to carry on after Pirelli. But it just all depends on whether it works out for us well on that event. If I feel comfortable in the car and the car performs the way which I expect it to be, then there's no reason why we can't continue. But it's just a big unknown at the moment. I don't know at the moment whether we're going to continue after that. So we'll just have to wait and see on that one. I can't really go much into that. Sorry if it's a vain.
No, that's okay.
As far as I can indulge.
That's all right. So looking at the rest of the calendar, I was quite interested when EPRA was announced, because I know you're one of the people who've actually done EPRA. There's not too many sort of the R5 guys who've done it before, and you did it in 2010, I think it was, wasn't it, in the Proton, yeah, when it was IRC. So would that be an event you'd like to get back out to and one that you think, is good to be part of the championship and an exciting round?
Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed the event back then. That was in the heyday of the IRC, when it was really in its prime, when you had a lot of fast drivers back then, which were all competing in the World Championship. You had like Nouvelle and Hannanen, you had Chris, you had we had Mickelson as well. So it was back when there was a real good hype about that championship, and the stages as well, they're really good stages, they're very technical, again very specialised. You have to have knowledge of where you can cut and where you can't cut, because that's where the locals and the local Belgians know, how far they can go into the ditches, which is where I lost out. I didn't understand how much you could cut over there in Belgium. So it would certainly spring a few surprises for the people who have never done the event before. I think it will cause a big shake for the championship. And I think it's good for the championship as well. I think it's good to take, the British Championship over to Europe and showcase it in front of the premier rally in Central Europe, in my opinion, because there's a lot of fast drivers in the UK, and it gives them a chance to prove themselves over there.
Tom, if I can just ask you, you're working hard towards getting people involved in the programme now, and I just purely from a point of view of, and this isn't a slant on anything or anybody really, but obviously there's a lot of Fiestas out there. There's a couple of Skodas and stuff like that. Does it make your job perhaps a little bit more interesting, a little bit easier if you are talking to partners that you're effectively bringing a new brand into the British Rally Championship?
It does make it easier, I guess, from that perspective. But at the same time, it's still equally as hard to try and raise the budget to go rallying. The price is no different between Well, I guess it is different, but there isn't a massive difference between a Fiesta, Skoda, and a Hyundai. But it's for me. I didn't have the mentality, right, let's go and bring another car manufacturer into the championship this year. That wasn't on my radar. You know, they came to me and approached me. So, of course, I was going to embrace it. And, of course, you know, if it can try and continue that, you know, for the rest of the year, then I will, because it is good for the championship. Everyone's a little bit bored of the Fiestas and Skodas now. You know, people know what they like to watch. They're not exactly very entertaining, are they? Come on, let's be honest. But it's good to bring, you know, the Hyundai along, because people were tweeting about it. And you know, I've seen on social media people commenting to say, you know, wouldn't it be great to see a Hyundai in the championship this year? And they're going to see it on the parade rally. So hopefully people will enjoy the spectacle, and hopefully we can continue with the car as well. But like I said, it's all a bit vague at the moment. You know, we've only got the one rally confirmed. For people who have been asking me that, whether it's a full program, no, it's only one rally for the moment, but you never know.
I was interested to see the beginning of the year, which is why I thought this has all come about, I suppose, over the last few weeks. But, you know, I must admit, you've gone at it hammer and tongs, so to speak. You're, you know, rallying for over the last few years has been phenomenal. Your partners have supported you right the way through. And I thought, well, maybe Tom we'll have a year now of re-evaluation and maybe look at things and things like that. And I seen the entry go in on the BTRDA rally, the opening round in the S14. I thought, okay, Tom's going to go and experience, you know, one of those cars that, you know, a childhood car, I suppose. You know, we all look back on the Subaru World cars and stuff like that. Was that initially what the year was going to be for you, Tom? Were you just going to go and pick and choose and maybe go and drive some cars you really wanted to drive?
The Camry was only the one I wanted to go and do, to be honest. I literally didn't have anything else confirmed or planned in my own mind to go and do anything else. But then after the Cambrian, literally that week after the Cambrian is when I had the phone call from Hyundai, and they said, you know, we're looking at doing a rally. Can you come on board and drive the car? And of course I said yes. So then I looked at planning other events then. So I go into the first round of this, you know, of the BRC, because if he went to the Pirelli now and hopefully that, you know, we get a good result and win, I would probably regret not doing the first round. So that's, you know, that's the only reason why we're doing the first round. And yeah, you know, it's working out quite well. There's a few interesting things happening behind the scenes. So if we can keep this momentum going, you know, I'd like to think we could definitely get to Ypres, do the Scottish and do the Ypres rally, and then we'll assess it from there. But yeah, that's what I would like to do, but we'll just see whether it's possible is the question.
Good man. Well, listen, Tom, we won't drill you anymore about what's going to happen and what's not going to happen. We're just really pleased to see you back out. It would have been such a shame to not see you in the championship this year, I think, after your efforts last year. So we applaud the efforts to see you coming back, and we wish you the very best of luck.
Thank you.
On border counties, and I'm sure we'll catch up with you before the Pirelli as well.
Okay, thank you, Tony. Thank you, Jack.
Thanks so much, Tom.
Thank you. Cheers.
Thanks a lot, Tom. And folks, thanks for the download. You know where we live, @absolute_rally on Twitter. And check out the new website, which is absoluterally.co.uk. And we'll be set back same time, same place next week in a little podcast, hopefully.